Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I want to start. I'm going to back up. We're going to do a mini review. Last week, I just could hardly contain myself. Did you notice that? I apologize in advance for whatever I might do. I just was so amazed, is the word. Remember the word amazed last week? I hope I wasn't the only one who was amazed as we walked through the Word of God and we saw our Savior. He's amazing. And so I want to speak to you a little bit. I'm going to just pick up a little bit of where we were last week. So we know that Jesus has come and he's called these men to him, these disciples. They left their jobs, they left their family, they came and followed him immediately, which was amazing. And they watched him heal, and they watched him deliver people from evil spirits, and it was just amazing. So Jesus went out, Mark 3, verse 7. Jesus went out to the lake. This is a review. Went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan River, and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. Everybody is hearing about this Jesus. Everybody's hearing about him. And Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready so that the crowd would not crush him. There were so many people, they could crush him. Have you ever been in a crowd? It's kind of like being at the Stampede Grounds, and you're at the hot dog stand, and you're just being crushed. People were crushing in on each other to get near to him. He had healed many people that day. So all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. Everybody wanted to touch Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you, if he came here today, we'd be crushing. We would be crushing on each other to get him to touch him. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. This is a crazy environment. All these people in there, they're being crushed together, and demons are coming out of people, and they're screaming, carrying on. There's all this racket going on. It is quite a scene. It is quite a scene. So Jesus, afterward, Jesus went up onto a mountain. And here's the sentence that just got me going last week. And he called out the ones he wanted to go with him. Remember that line? He called out the ones. There's all these people, they're all crushing, and they're all around him. There's demons come out of the people, and there's people being healing. And it says, he went up on the mountain, and then he called out. He said, "You, and you, and you, and you, you, I want you." And he called out you. And I'm amazed. I think we still got to be amazed. I'm amazed. I was not voted the most likely to succeed in my school class. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought, why would he call me of all people? And yet it says he went upon a mountain and he called out those he wanted to go with him. That is amazing. And that you are counted among those. It's such a blessing. He saw you and he chose you. And they came to him. And then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. Out of all that crowd, he called out the ones that he wanted. And then there was 12 that he said, and I want you, if you look at their credentials, he didn't go and pick the president of the university and the highest, not there's anything against president, I'm pretty sure they got called too. But he called fishermen. He called ordinary, unschooled people to him. It wasn't that he didn't go through a list of qualifications. They didn't have resumes or anything else. He said, "I'm going to pick 12 of you," and it's amazing who he picked. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. He knew there was something in those 12. There was something in those 12 that he would use. And these are the 12 that he chose. Simon, whom he called Peter. Now, you know, I get so crabby sometimes that, well, I have a lot of nicknames. It drives some people crazy. When I was born, I was called Kathleen. That's such a proper name, isn't it? And somehow my name always felt a little big for me. Kathleen sounds like somebody, I don't know, it's just a big name. It feels like a big name. Some names feel really big. That one felt big. And so I began working as a social worker. And when I was a social worker, Kathleen Gilhooly, Feith and Begara, that's a big handle. So the kids at the Boys and Girls Club where I worked, they just abbreviated it down to Hooly. That is my name, and it's on my license plate so that I can remember my name. It's a really good idea to get one of those license plates that has your name on it, because then when you forget, you know, oh, yeah, there I am. So I go by Hooly. So I'm, you know, Kathleen, I'm a lot more comfortable with Hooly. Well, then I started to pastor, and then I'm Pastor Hooly. So I have a first name and a last name. The first name is Pastor, and my last name is Hooly. And then, so that's a lot for people. So then we just, now I'm PK. And that's spelled P-E-A-K-A-Y. PK, right? I didn't put that on my car because that's just confusing. So I feel really good when I'm going through this passage because these disciples have more than one name. And I used to mention that a lot because, like, Faye Brereton, who comes to our church, there's her mama right there. Hi, bro. And she... I'm going to go visit her in the hospital, and I'm looking for Faye, but she's actually Gloria, right? I can't. Tell me your name and stick with it, or you're not going to get a visit. Because they say, I'm sorry, we do not have Gloria in the hospital right now. Well, I know she's there, so she's hiding somewhere. I know you've got her somewhere. So Simon, then Jesus called him Peter, and then there's James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them. I love that part. Nickname. It is okay to have a nickname. Okay? Because if Jesus can nickname people, we can nickname people. Hooly. He nicknamed them Sons of Thunder. That's a good nickname. Then there was Andrew, who's Simon Peter's brother, and then there's Philip, and then there's Bartholomew, who is also called Nathaniel. See, it gets really confusing, right? Because you're looking for Bartholomew and you can't find him, and he's actually Nathaniel. And then there's Matthew, who is actually Levi. See what I'm talking about right now? It's confusing. And you know that there's no book of Levi, but you do know that there's a book of Matthew that was written by Levi, who's actually Matthew. And then there's Thomas, who they call Didymus. Thomas, because he was what? He was a twin. So we've got Thomas, or Didymus, who's a twin. And then we've got the other James, son of Alphaeus. And then we've got Thaddeus. And then there's Simon the Zealot, but is different than Simon Peter. And then we have Judas Iscariot, who was the betrayer. You don't want a nickname that is the betrayer. He is the one who betrayed Jesus. So these are like our relatives. So we should know their first names, and we should know their nicknames, because we're related to these people. One time Jesus entered a house, and the crowds began to gather again, and soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. It didn't stop. It was endless people seeking out Jesus, looking after him, wanting him to touch them, wanting them to heal him, wanting to deliver them from whatever demonic forces were upon them. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. Come on now. You know how we sing that Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that the Son of God? Mary, did you know? Mary, do you remember that the Holy Spirit overshadowed you and you became pregnant by the Holy Spirit? And that you gave birth, you knew that you weren't with Joseph. You know that happened to you. And do you ever wonder in this passage, did you ever talk to your other kids about that? Did you ever talk to the kids that actually did come from your marriage union with Joseph? Did you ever tell them what happened to you? Why would they show up at the door if they understood the beginning? Why would they show up at this door and say, he is out of his mind. We need to take him with us. This guy is out of his mind. Mary, did you know? But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Satan. Man, have you ever felt judged? Have you ever felt judged by people? Have you ever had your own family say, man, you are crazy? And yeah, you see, I'm not the only one whose family thinks they're crazy. Yeah, you guys all think you're grounded. See me after the service, Jordan. So then the teachers of the law who are teaching all the people in his community, and they're saying, he's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus, everybody's accusing him of things. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons. That's what they're telling people. Oh, you've seen this guy casting out demons? I'll tell you where he gets the power. He gets the power to cast out demons from Satan. This is so good. This is so good. Jesus called them over. Excuse me. Guys, can we have a chat over here? Come on. So he called them over. He's got these guys around me. He says, a kingdom. He said, how can Satan cast out Satan? He said, let's just think about that for a minute. Come on. How can Satan cast out Satan? And that's he doesn't say this, but I'm saying it because that would be really dumb. But let's see what he actually says. A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? Why on earth would Satan cast himself out? Dummies? He didn't say that part. I said, I added the dummy part. But it's a really good question. Why would Satan cast himself out? Think about it, guys. You great religious leaders of the time. He would never survive. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Why would Satan go into his own house and plunder his own goods? Only someone even stronger, the only one stronger. Someone who could tie him up and plunder his house. Jesus. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I tell you the truth. All sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. All your sin can be forgiven. That's amazing. That's amazing. And blasphemy, lies. All your sin and lies can be forgiven. That's what he says. Some of us have lied. I'd almost be willing to wager all of us have lied. And I'm sure all of us have sinned. And I'm here to tell you that can be forgiven. Can be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When those religious leaders are standing in front of Jesus and they are saying the Holy Spirit in you is Satan, that's not wise. Do not call the Holy Spirit Satan. Whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences. He told them this because they were saying he's possessed by an evil spirit, when in fact, the power that Jesus Christ has in him is the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus' mother and brothers come to see him. How nice. This is after they announced to the community that he was out of his mind. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with him. Just go in there. I know he's busy. Where is mother and his brothers? We want you to just go in there and tell him to come on out and talk to us. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, "Oh, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." And Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And then he looked around at those around him, and he said, "Look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." And if we're in this place today, and our desire and our heart is to do the will of God, he says, "Mother, sister, brother." We've got some really great relatives, don't we? My brother, Jesus. Your brother, Jesus. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. His first words are, "Listen." Listen. You know when you look at your kid and you say, "Listen," like that? I think he did that. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath. Well, a footpath is formed when somebody has walked on a path over and over and over and over, and the path gets formed, and it gets really solid, and the ground gets really hard, right? That's why it's a path. There is a path that's formed. If you notice on our front lawn, the people cut across the front lawn. There's a sidewalk, and then there's a walkway, but the people cut across the front lawn, and you know what? There's a path. There's a pathway that they're making there. There's a pathway. It's a footpath, and the footpath is very hard earth. And so some of the seed, so the farmer goes out and he sows, and some of the seed falls on that hard footpath. So the seed doesn't sink in. It just sits right on the top of that hard footpath, right? And the birds came and ate it because it's just sitting there waiting to be eaten. It's just sitting there, top of the path. So the birds swooped down and they ate it, and another seed fell on shallow soil. So there's another spot, and there's just a little shallow bit of soil on top. Well, the seed fell onto that, and then underneath that is underlying rock. And the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, so it didn't take much. A little seed goes down, there it comes up, pops up really quick. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Shallow soil. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so that they produced no grain. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil. This part we really like, because when it gets to that part, then we're thinking about fertile soil, and we're thinking about how fertile our hearts are. And we all want the fertile soil, right? So I'm excited that we're a bunch of fertile soil sitting here. And they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as he had planted, producing so much good. And then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear." Now, I know y'all got ears. Everybody who had ears in that crowd, everybody in that crowd, if you got ears, I was just talking to a young man this week, and he was so excited when he phoned me. He had done a life sentence, and he's out, and he's, well, I'll tell you, when you have a life sentence, it's really hard to get a job. You know, you hand him your resume, it looks really good, and then they do a check, and then, ka-ching, life sentence. He was so excited. He said, "I had determined that I was going to get a job," and he said, "No matter what." So I made a stack of resumes. He said, "I made a stack of resumes, and I determined that I'm going to go to every business in the town, and I'm going to not stop until I get a job." And he said, "I walked into a car dealership, and he said, 'I'm looking for a job.'" And they're not advertising that they need anybody. And the fellow says, "What makes you think you can do this job?" And he said, I got ears that hear and a mouth that speaks. Isn't that good? Boy, that's a good line. And then I hit anyone with ears to hear. You know, you can have ears and not hear. What? I told you about my oldest boy. Did I tell you about Michael? Michael, God forgive me. Michael, bright boy, bright boy. So we have a kitchen that overlooks the family room. And Michael be sitting on the couch, and he's doing something. And maybe he's watching TV. I say, Michael, Michael, nothing. Not a flinch. Not a movement, nothing. Over and over and over. And I said to my husband, oh, my word, Gilly, he's deaf. We got to get this kid's hearing tested. I swear he's deaf. He does not respond to me. My heart was heavy as I'm driving to the children's hospital to have my deaf son hearing assessed. I'm sitting in the waiting room. I'm praying up a storm. Oh, Jesus, heal my son from his deafness. Yeah. Till the doctor comes out and he said, your son has perfect hearing. And in fact, he has perfect pitch and perfect hearing. What? All the way home, I'll tell you, that kid got more than an earful. He said, your son is mother deaf. That means your son is mother deaf, means he not gonna listen to you. He's not father deaf. If his father calls him, suddenly his hearing is amazing. The doctor said he's mother deaf. He has tuned you out. I know y'all feel sorry for me right now. I was feeling pretty sorry for myself too. You can have ears. Some of you had ears a long time ago. Some people been maybe telling you about Jesus for a long time before you heard. Have you been talking to somebody who's deaf? And you're talking about Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, and they can't hear you. They can't hear you. They're Jesus deaf. So Jesus said, anyone with ears to hear should listen. Isn't that good? Listen. God, I pray that the people that we bring Jesus to will listen and that they will hear what we're saying, that God would open their ears, that you could hear what we're saying about Jesus. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him, what did that parable mean when you were talking about that farmer? And Jesus replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. There are some things that make sense to the people who are in the kingdom of God that do not make sense to the people who are not in the kingdom of God. They cannot hear it. They do not understand it. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, people have seen, there was people that saw what Jesus did and they learned nothing. You imagine seeing him heal people, heal the leper and the paralytic and deliver people from demonic spirits, and they see it and they don't understand it. When they heard what I say, they will not understand. And I know that you're talking to people, maybe in your family, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe at your work, and you are talking about Jesus, and there is just a veil. They don't get it. They don't understand it. He said, otherwise they will turn to me and be forgiven. If you listen and you understand, you can turn to him and be forgiven. And then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? It's like he's saying, this is the easy one. The one about the farmer and the sowing and the seed, it's easy one. Let's have a look at it. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So the seed that this plant, that this farmer is sowing, is the word of God. And he's got it and he's spreading it around as he goes. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come and take it away. They heard it, but their hearts are hard and the seed just sits on the top and away it goes. It doesn't last. It doesn't do anything. And the seed on the rocky soil represents those, they hear the message. They actually hear it and immediately receive it with joy. They're really excited. Have you ever seen somebody like they're so excited when they first get Jesus? But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last very long. They fade away. They come maybe a few weeks after they accept Jesus, and then they fade off and they don't come, and you phone them and they're not growing. They've stopped their growth. Their roots didn't go down deep enough. And they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing. They just walk away from God's word. This the seed that comes up next, I think is one of the most dangerous for us. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hears God's word. We heard it. We've got it. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Yes, you've got it. It goes down deep, but there's so much thorns. There's so much, and you're just, the worries of the life crowd out Jesus. And the lure of wealth, other things start to capture you. And instead of focusing on Jesus, you're focusing on money or the world, the things of the world. I think this one is so dangerous. And the desire for other things. You desire other things more than you desire Jesus. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents, yes, those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. We all want to be that fertile soil. God, let's pray that prayer. God, make us fertile soil. That the word of God, that your word, that's not going to sit on top and it's not just going to sit shallow and it's not going to get all washed out in the worries of the world. God, keep our hearts fertile soil so that when we hear the word of God, when we read the word of God, when we're talking with one another, that our roots grow down into deep, fertile soil and that we produce 30, 60, 100 times whatever God has given. Make us fertile soil. And then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? But hide it under a bushel. Oh, no, we all went, no, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that song we used to sing? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and he lives in us. When I'm a light, you're a light. Why would you get this understanding? Why would you hear this word? Why would you do that? And then hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. We're not going to take this light of Jesus, the light of the world, and hide it somewhere. That just simply doesn't make any sense. Of course not. A lamp is to be placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. We don't want to be people that live in the dark. We want to be people that live in the light. Anyone with ears to hear, that's all of us, we've got ears to hear, should listen and understand. We're just going to go around and light up the world. When we have the light of Christ in us, when we walk into a room, the room should be brighter. You don't want to walk into a room and have the room go, ooh, or all the energy in the room disappear because you walked into it. We have the light of Christ in us, and we're going to just light up wherever we go. And then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. Pay close attention. Do you know you're hearing a lot of stuff these days? Do you know that there is, especially with social media and especially with your phone, and especially if you're somebody like me who uses podcasts and such to quiet down my brain at night so that I get 4 hours and 45 minutes of sleep. Be careful what you hear. There is all kinds of things. There's all kinds of voices speaking into your life, telling you various things. The news is telling you all kinds of things. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you believe. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. Oh, I want to really listen hard to the Word of God. The closer I listen to the Word of God, the more understanding I'm going to be given. And you will receive even more. More understanding builds on more understanding builds on more understanding. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Isn't that a high motivation to listen to the Word of God? The more you hear, the more He's going to give you, the more you're going to understand it. I know at the very beginning, maybe at the very beginning of your walk, you opened up the Word of God and you went, wow, none of this makes any sense to me at all. And then as you read, it starts to unfold before you and more will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. It's just a way to say, you're going to get dumber and dumber. That's my version of this scripture. You're going to get dumb. You're going to have little understanding that even that understanding is going to be taken away from you. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Kingdom of God. You know, we live in Canada, and we're Canadians, and we live in Alberta, and we're Albertans, and we live in Calgary, and we're Calgarians, or maybe you're an Airdrieonian, or something really close to that. But you know what we really are? We are kingdom people. We belong to the kingdom of God. And you might have a prime minister or a mayor or whatever, but you know what we have? We have a king. We're in the kingdom of God. That's where our citizenship is. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. It's so true. The farmer goes out and he plants. And whether you're standing there looking at it or whether you're in bed sleeping, something is going on under that ground that you can't see. And some mystery is happening there as that seed comes to sprout and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. I don't understand how it happens. Amazing. The earth produces the crops on its own. You have nothing to do with it. You can stand there all day going, grow, 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 and you can't make that thing grow. Something happens from God in that seed. Something is happening from God in the seed that is planted in you. And he's going to grow it, and he's going to make it develop, and he's going to turn it into whatever he wants it to turn. And I don't understand. I don't understand how he does that. Do you understand how he's changed you? It's amazing. I know that I accepted him as Lord and Savior, and I know I'm not the same person now that I was when I was 9. He's doing something in you. You don't understand. I can't figure it out. Wow, God, how'd you do that? Suddenly you think differently. Suddenly you're speaking differently. Suddenly, that is an amazing thing. First a leaf blade pushes through, and then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. And we don't really understand the whole process, but the farmer, the earth that it's planted in, our Lord Jesus Christ is working a mighty work in us. How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make its nest in shade. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that the tiniest little seed can become this great plant, but yet that's what God does. He can take the smallest insignificant thing and make it a wonderful place where birds can make their nests. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. God, help us to understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. And when you were alone with God and you were in the Word, he will explain everything. If you're reading something and you don't understand it, ask him. Say, God, I don't understand this. And he'll tell you. He'll say, oh, I'll show you how that goes. As evening came, and I want to just, Jesus, as evening came, Jesus had a plan. And he tells them the plan. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Here's what we're going to do, disciples. We are going to cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats did follow. But soon a fierce storm came up and high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water, and that is really scary. I've seen that happen to Rob once. He didn't drown. Sorry, I'm laughing. It was funny at the time. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. So Jesus in the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up shouting. And here's what they shouted. First of all, they shouted, teacher. Does that surprise anybody? Do you think on the shores of the Galilee, when he said, follow me, they went, teacher, I think I'll follow you, teacher. I think I will follow you, leave my job, leave my career, leave my family, because you are my teacher. It surprises me they didn't say, Lord, Lord of heaven, Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ. They said, teacher. Remember, God gave them a plan. You know what he said? We're going to cross from here to there. And the storm comes up, and they cry out to their teacher. Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? This is what they said to the Lord. When he has said, we are going to leave here, and we are going to get to there, and they yell, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? So what they do is they make up their own story of what is going to happen, and you do that too. You do that too. When you get in a storm, you make up in your head, oh, I know what's going to happen now. And then we tell the Lord Jesus Christ what's going to happen. And we say to him, don't you care? And these are the same disciples that saw him heal the leper, that were there when the paralytic was dropped below, when he healed the paralytic. These are the same people. They saw all that. They saw demons come shrieking out of people. They saw all that. And now they're in a storm, and now they're saying, don't you even care? And we do the same thing. When we get in a storm, we say, Jesus, where are you? Don't you care? And you know what they speak? They speak out fear. And it is really scary. That's right up there scary, unless you're Rob. That's right up there scary when waves are coming into the boat and there's a big storm. So they speak out fear. Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? They predict to God what's going to happen. They tell God what's going to happen. Stop telling God what's going to happen. All the Lord's people said, amen. Stop it. I have to stop it. I am so good at telling God what is going to happen. And I am so glad every once in a while he reprimands me and he reminds me I'm not God. Stop it. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. You know what would have been? Suddenly the wind stopped. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? I think he wanted to say, why are you afraid? Don't you remember who I am? Don't you remember what I did? Did you hear me? Did you see me? Did you see the healings? Did you see the miracles? And now we're in a boat and we're in, and even if they had said, Lord Jesus, calm the storm. Lord Jesus, calm the storm. It's different than, don't you care? Don't you know we're going to die? And he says, do you still have no faith after everything that you've seen? And I'm reminded, and I hope that you're reminded, that we can speak out. We can speak out like we're God. And we can speak out like we know. Or we can say, God, I'm in a storm. Calm the waves. Calm the waves. Not God, where are you? Not God, don't you care? But God, help me. Help me. We can pray that. That's a God, you, I know that you are there. I wish that they'd have stood up and said, you're in the boat. And whether you're asleep or awake, I know that you can calm this storm. That's what I want my prayer life to look like. God, I know that you're in the boat. I don't understand this storm that has come up. I don't get it. I don't know why this isn't what I figured was going to happen. But you told me, God, that you know the plans you have for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. You gave us the plan already. I already know the plan. You already know the plan. I don't want to pray, where are you? Have you forgotten me? I know that I'm going to die in this. I know I'm just going to speak faith in that boat. The disciples were absolutely terrified. And they weren't terrified anymore from the storm. You know what they were terrified of? They said, who is this man? Who is this man? And then they asked each other, even the wind and waves obey him. We want to have willing hearts. We want to have fertile soil. We want to have ears that listen, ears that hear, ears that receive this word and let it go down deep into us. We know he is the light of the world, and we want to sing his praises. We want to sing his praises. We're going to sing his praises in the storm because we trust him in the storm. We're going to sing his praises when we're in the boat and it's rocking and we think he's asleep. We're going to sing his praises. We marvel at what he produces and the seed that becomes the largest plant. We long to hear and we long to see. We long to understand. And what we need to do is we need to lean in. We need to lean into his word and we need to lean into him. We need to stop leaning into the world. We are leaning into the world for our answers. We need to stop. The world has no, I'm telling you right now, this world has no answers for you. This world has no answers for you. You're not going to get wiser by listening to the news or reading the newspaper. You're going to get wiser by listening to the word of God with your ears and with your heart. You are not going to get wiser listening to the world. We pray for faith that stands. You know what? We want to be a church that stands up in that boat and doesn't call out teacher. We want to be a church that stands up in that storm and says, Lord Jesus, my Savior, my King, help me in this storm. I know that you were there. I know that you will get me through this. I don't understand how you're going to do that any more than I understand how when you plant a seed in the ground, I don't understand how it grows. I don't understand how you're going to get me through this storm. You can't see the way out of the storm. I see no way out of the storm. There is no way. How can this get any better? And you know what? It will, because he is Lord of all, and he has promised you that he is going to prosper you. And that's what we want to stand up in the boat and say. And we're going to remember. We are going to remember today in this church that the wind and the waves obey him. And we are going to take his word, put it in our hearts. We might not understand what he is doing, but we are going to stand up in that boat and we are going to say, waves, be still in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.